Is the blank game week causing you a headache? We chew the fats over chips and Chelsea. Has everyone gone mad selling Haaland? And brace yourselves because Jules joined the 100 Club. Hello, it's Thursday. Welcome along to the FPL pod. The dust has just settled on another game week. In fact, it ended less than 12 hours from the time we are currently recording. But we're back to review it and look ahead to game week 28. And this is a painful one for myself and Sam Bonfield. But we do have a member of the 100 Club with us, Julian Laron.
Oh, Lord, here we go.
Everyone turn your headphones down for that squeal.
It's okay.
Jules, you had a good game week, didn't you?
Very good, thank you. Remind me again, how many points did I get?
I mean, you got 100. I only got 95, just to point out.
Did you get three digits or two digits? Sorry,
I didn't, so congratulations. Yeah. What was key to that for you?
Jason Steele, I love you. I know you're listening. I know you're a big fan. I was a bit disappointed at the weekend when you conceded a goal, but certainly in midweek, you made me proud, son. Very proud. So Jason Steele, Mitoma, of course, Ivan Toney, of course, as captain too for the double game week for him. So overall, it was, apart from Marcus Rashford and, you know, Bukayo Saka, who still had 3 points but didn't really return, everybody else did, which was wonderful.
Great. Okay, Sam, let's move on because I don't really want to dwell on that too much. You had a really good game week as well. Probably like me, thought you were having a really good game week until you checked Jules' score.
Do you know, with me, it was really annoying because on Sunday evening, I was having an absolute flyer because I didn't have that many double game weekers, a bit like you, Kelly. I think we both only had two. Didn't have any Brighton or Brentford defenders. So I was like, right, this game week has gone brilliantly. I'd played all my Arsenal players, like I have Gabriel. I was like, yes, this has gone brilliantly, Martinelli. Lovely. I was up like, I'd halved my rank. I was like, brilliant. This has gone great. Then Wednesday evening comes around. McAllister didn't return anything else for me, which was a bit frustrating. Obviously, Toney with a goal and assist, so that was great. He was my captain, so fine there. But the Brighton and Brentford defences just slashed my green arrow. So I still have a green arrow, still gone up like 6K, so that's lovely. Got 93, so it's not like I've had a bad week, but my goodness, it was so much better if the game week had ended on Sunday.
I agree. Also, this is going to be painful because I actually thought Jules' camera had frozen then because he's just sitting there with the biggest grin on his face.
No.
But I don't think we're going to get off him during the duration of this record.
He's well,
I don't blame
happy today.
You, Jules. Enjoy it while you can because you haven't
Thank
been doing
you.
As well recently. Anyway, it was a good game week for both of you, all of us, really. But our guest today is so excited that he actually tweeted 24 hours before coming on today to tell everyone that he was going to be a guest. So we're very pleased to welcome comedian and impressionist Luke Kempner. Luke, tell us, please make me and Sam feel better. Tell us you beat Jules.
Wow, I saw that little smug face from Jules.
Go on, bring him down.
I take your 100 points and I raise you. 101 points.
Yay!
Thank you very much.
Is the best timing ever. This is incredible. I didn't even check.
So I got 101 points. Although I it's sort of tinged with regret and sadness because my bench is filled with Gabriel 14 points, Botman 2, Ooh. Whatever, Martinelli 8 points, and then Kepa on 3. So it's that thing of like, yeah, it's great, but also if I'd have just used the bench boost, I would have been dreaming.
Didn't listen to the podcast last week, did he, Sam? Because you did suggest not benching Martinelli and you said that you could understand why people would bench boost.
Yeah, do you know, I thought it was the right week for a bench boost because most people are going to bench their Arsenal assets and I just thought that they would do well. Now, I was surprised that Saka didn't get anything, but of course the rest of them did absolutely brilliantly in game week 27. So I think it maybe is a missed opportunity to use the bench boost, but of course with 29 coming up, the big double, there's plenty of other opportunities where you can use it.
I think the thing is for me, though, I am an Arsenal fan, so I sort of saw
Why
it
Why do we keep getting Arsenal fans on here? Sam, I'm going to apologise to you
because we're the nicest, most talented guys.
They're just the best.
All of a sudden, they're coming out of the woodwork this season.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. Can I be on a podcast?
Suddenly they're back.
But I the sort of the way I do play FPL, like I feel like I play it very sensibly, but then my one stupid rule is that I can put Arsenal players on the bench or not captain an Arsenal player because if they do well, then I'm happy
Still
anyway.
Still get pleasure out of it, yeah.
And it's,
yeah.
So in a season when they're top of the league, it's working very nicely.
At that point, I was about to compare when Watford were in the Premier League and I knew the feeling. Then I realised, definitely didn't. Let's move on from that. Luke, let's talk a little bit more about FPL because I introduced you as a comedian and an impressionist. You're also an actor, but I should have, in that intro, really also put that you're a very serious FPL manager, because I would go as far as saying FPL isn't just a hobby for you.
FPL's life. FPL yes. affects... If I have a bad week in FPL, I don't know if you guys do this, and I'll like sit there like the day after and go, I feel really sad today. And I'm like, I don't know why I feel sad. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's because Trippier didn't get a 3 bonus. Like, I don't know why it affects me, but it really, really does affect me, this big thing that I can't really control. And I have a mini league with called the Great Footballing Minds. And it is called that because my friend Johnny once said that Suarez isn't good because he can't finish, right? And this was before he had that monster season where he scored 800 goals against Norwich. And then he said, ask any great footballing mind like me. So then we became the Great Footballing Mind. So that's the name of our, and it's, we take it very seriously. We have a meetup on the last day of the season. I'm even wearing my official branding of my fantasy football jumper today. I'm big into it. Love it. And I hate it in equal measure.
Sam, I thought you were the most dedicated FPL manager I knew. You and Lee, your FPL family. I don't even think you have FPL jumpers, do you?
Yeah, a scarf.
I am starting to wonder whether I should get myself an FPL jumper. Yeah. I mean, I do actually have an FPL t-shirt. Maybe I should have worn it on the pod today. If I'd have known Luke was going to come branded, then maybe I should have come wearing a t-shirt.
And I've got more. I've got an FPL scarf. I've got an FPL official shirt that I have made for everyone. Like, and it cost me about 60 quid each to get them made. And two of them liked them. One of them said, oh, it just doesn't really fit me. And he's never worn it. So that's annoying. But yeah, no, we take it. We've all got team names as well. Like, we're not allowed to change our team names because then people are like, oh, you're just like MK Dons. If you change your team name, you're like MK Dons. So like,
what's your team name?
Well, I hate my team name. I want to make it a fun little, you know, pun of a title, you know, like Chicken Tikka Salar, all that sort of thing. But like mine's PK Lookalike because my wife once said I look like Gerard Pique. And I told my mates this. I take it. And they all laughed and said, no, you don't. So then I thought it'd be funny to call my name.
I don't think you do either.
Yeah, thank you, Jill. What was that? You do exactly. You're better looking than him. Thanks, man. So I'm PK Lookalike and I'll be that forever. And I hate the name, but that's where I am.
Okay, Luke, you take it very seriously. Just bring us up to speed with how this season then has gone. You've obviously had a very good game week this week, but how's it gone overall?
Okay. So currently about 450,000. Yeah, it's my lowest rank ever. It's what it's looking like.
It's the same as me, if it makes you feel any better.
It does, actually. It's been worse this season. So I'm actually on a bit of an upward curve.
The swings have been bigger is what I feel like. If you make a slightly wrong decision, it's felt like it's really gone against you. Or maybe I just tell myself that to make myself feel better. I don't know.
I've hated this season. Honestly, it's this kind of double game week coming out of nowhere all day, every day. And I just feel like it's been so difficult to navigate. And then also that thing of like this week, I was interested that you guys haven't used your wild card yet because I sort of used that wild card in 25 to get all these Brighton and Brentford players. And it has
Jules,
worked.
You used yours at a similar time, didn't you? When did you use yours?
Yeah. I mean, it felt like I used mine in game week 5 and 6, to be fair. So
you used yours ages ago, Jules. It feels like you wildcarded.
Too early,
you did it when we all triple captained, right?
Yes. Which I thought it would be interesting
Madrid
on the show as well. I wanted Madrid, who, by the way, for the first time returned for me, Luke, because I had a feeling after the World Cup.
Did you play with him?
And of course I benched him. So I still love him. And he's got a double game week coming up. If he can pick up a bit of form, that'd be great. But not the best move there.
Okay, Luke, anything further you want to add on your season or would you like us to swiftly move on and let's look forward and be positive?
Yes. I mean, what's frustrating me this season is it's felt like a lot of the choices have been quite obvious. And even, you know, even this week, I was like, finally, I can captain McAllister and that'll be a bit of a differential captain. A lot of people go Tony, a lot of people go Matoma. And then like, you know, the guy that I'm chasing, I'm 100 points behind. He had March and sold March for McAllister just to block me. I feel like that's where, he's the Jose Mourinho of FPL. Like it's just got to that point now where it's just a little bit, I feel like that a lot of the decisions are quite obvious. So I'm hoping from this podcast, I can get some spicy picks to make some big moves in the next 8 weeks.
Okay, that's the challenge laid down to us, guys. We've got to find some spicy picks in this podcast. Let's move on then and look ahead to game week 28 and find those spicy picks. This is another big one for FPL managers. This time, not because teams are doubling, but because six teams don't play at all. Liverpool, Fulham, Manchester City, West Ham, Manchester United and Brighton have all had their matches postponed due to the FA Cup quarterfinals. Sam, what does this mean for us FPL managers?
Oh, the blanks. Now, this is more of, for me anyway, these are the weeks that I love because you have to really think about them. Like the double game weeks, it's like, yeah, okay, go all in on these double game weeks if you want to. The blanks take some actual thought because if you're going to sell players, and there is a massive movement at the moment to sell players like Haaland, if you're going to sell them, you've got to have a plan to bring them back in. But you've also got to really think carefully about who you want to keep on your bench and make sure that you maintain them, particularly as we go out of a blank and into a double in 29. So you do have to think really carefully. There are going to be some players in there that you can just go, right, I'm going to lose them this week. There are going to be some players in there that you know you want to keep longer term. Also, if you want to use your free hit chip this week, there is definitely an opportunity to do that depending upon how your team looks.
Yeah, there's lots to think about, isn't there? Mainly, Jules, the blanking players, all of those players that we've got really excited about, the likes of the Brighton players, people will have gone big on them. That was a big reason why I didn't bring in too many of them for last week's double, because I was very aware that this game week was on the horizon. What do we do?
Yeah, I mean, I hope for the listeners, because we've been warning you for the last few weeks, be careful, that game week 28 coming is going to be tricky, so plan ahead. Prepare it. Don't go too heavy on those players that will blank. And we've explained as well that Brighton had the double game week, which was great, but then blanking the next game week was not ideal, of course. So I hope people have been listening, because if you've been managing your squad in the last, let's say, a couple of weeks, I think is probably right, then you should be in a position where maybe you'll have one player blanking in your starting 11 and a few on the bench, but that's okay. Maybe two players blanking. I don't know. Sam always used to say, if you've got two blanking and still have nine playing, then you should be okay. You can always take a -4, of course. But yeah, this was a game week that had to be planned quite way before.
Thing is, Kelly, what you just said before is so important, right? Because you and I had the same feeling, like, don't go too heavy on players for 1 week because it might ruin your team for the next week. The same applies this week, right? If you go and sell these players, particularly like your Brighton assets that you've just bought in for the double this week, if you now go and sell them, you're probably going to want them back in again for their double next week. So you have to just think really carefully about whether it's worth selling these players to get 11 out, knowing that you're going to have to kind of reverse those transfers for the week after. My feeling is it's probably not. And therefore going in with 9 or 10 feels okay if that means your team for game week 29 is set up already.
I'm looking at your team, Luke, and this looks a very well-planned team to me. If my maths is correct, you have three Brighton players who will blank, Marcus Rashford plus Erling Haaland. That's five in total. Is that right?
Yeah. So I've got nine starting and I've got two free transfers. So I'm in a position where I can get 11, and I am already looking at potentially selling it Stupinian for Chilwell and Haaland for a sort of Watkins or a Havertz. One thing I was going to say, Sam, though, on that point of being careful of blank game weeks, I think I sort of was playing the game a bit like that and sort of staying away from Matoma, and then every week they would get points. And I think sometimes it's better just to deal with it when you get to the blank game week. I know I've planned well, but I think, like, you could have lost out on all those points because you're going, oh, I'm scared, they've got a blank coming up. But actually, deal with it when you get there. And actually, this week, if people, it's fine for me because I got nine and I could get 11 out. But if people are looking at their free hit this week, I think it's a fantastic week for a free hit, because Arsenal at home to Crystal Palace is a great fixture. Villa at home to Bournemouth is a great fixture. I think Chelsea have got a really good fixture. What's Chelsea's fixture? They're at home to Everton. You know, like, I think even you can go with like a Kane or a Son away to Southampton. I feel like it's a really good week for a free hit. So I don't think anybody should be worrying about using that. So I think it's actually quite an exciting week, because I think there's hopefully going to be lots of different options.
That's a really good point, actually, because I'm a manager that lives a little bit in fear of using my chips at times. You always think, well, I don't want to use it this week, because you always think there's going to be a better game week around the corner to use it, isn't it? But we have those chips for a reason. So if you feel your team needs it, Sam, then you should use it, shouldn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you've got 7, 8 players, and you're looking at your team and you're thinking, I don't really like the players that I've got for this week. I think that there are, you know, like Luke said, there are other players from other teams that have got a better fixture, then there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't play your free hit this week. I think for me, I like to play my free hit wherever possible in a double game week, because it allows you to exploit that chip more. It allows you to bring in players that have got more minutes and allows you to kind of really get the best out of it. Whereas sometimes I think that picking to play your free hit chip in a single game week or in a blank game week just means that you potentially transfer out players that also return. Like, you know, if you go, oh, I'm going to free hit this week because I want to get in these guys, but then you're taking out some players that also have a fixture, you run the risk of finding out that your team that you had originally got more points than your free hit team. But of course, that can happen in a double game week as well. So I think you just have to look really carefully about your team. If you can get 10 without using the chip, then for me, I would hold the chip because I think you can get more advantage from playing it in the double game week. If you can get less than 10, if you're on 9, 8, 7, then hit the chip now.
Okay, well, let's go through some of the players who are being sold by a lot of managers. And Erling Haaland is one of these. Now, this is a player that scored 5 on Tuesday night. He is, in fact, the only player in the game so far to have scored over 200 points. So it feels staggering that he is being sold by as many people as he is. Bit of trivia for you, though, guys. Only 3 players have achieved over 200 points in their debut season previously. I'm going to be honest, Sam set this challenge. Sam told me the answer to this, so she is not allowed to answer. So Luke and Jules, over to you. Who are the only 3 players to have achieved over 200 points in their debut season?
Well, Salah has to be one, right? Salah's first season?
No. Remember, he was at Chelsea in his first season in the Premier League, Jules.
Oh, yeah, come on.
No, come on, you have to remember this stuff.
Aguero?
Ding!
Yes!
Aguero! These are good sound effects, by the way.
Yeah.
Jules is going to kick himself because Jules considers himself as the font of all football knowledge.
Look at his face.
No, I'm trying to think.
Aguero got 211 in the 2011-2012 season. Wow. Jules, you're going to really kick yourself. No, you two should both know.
You should both know. You should.
Okay, there's an Arsenal player.
Oh, Alexis Sanchez.
Oh, God, that went a bit high-pitched there, that thing. Alexis Sanchez with 207 in the 2014-15 season. Jules, you are having the floor absolutely wiped.
Vintage.
I was not playing back then, to be fair. So I was not
Were
sure.
Were you not, Jules?
I was not sure how
Lack of dedication from you, to be honest.
Just think of creative. There's one other creative
Ozil?
Arsenal
this
player.
This one's the hardest, I think, of the three. This one's the hardest.
This isn't going to make great audio for the pod, is it? I might have to tell you.
Cazorla?
Yes.
Ding!
Oh! Cazorla, yes.
Oh, wow.
Santi Cazorla got 205 in the 2012-2013 season.
Also, Kelly, when you look at this, 211 for Aguero, 207 for Sanchez, 205 for Cazorla. Haaland's going to absolutely smash these numbers. He's, you know, we're nowhere near the end of the season yet. It's mental.
Okay, so talk
Why
me
would
through.
You sell him then?
Exactly. That was my next question. Talk me through it.
Why don't you put him on the bench? Nice and easy. We've said that for Rashford before. Give him a blanket, you know, a flask of tea, a bit of biscuits, anything he likes to eat. Cuddle. Exactly. Nice, you know. And then he can watch the weekend, play a bit in the FA Cup if he wants to. And that's it.
He's the most transferred out player.
Who are those guys?
He's out of my team. I'm kicking him out the door.
So Luke's done it. Hold on.
See you later, Erling.
Make a case. Tell us why you've sold him. Make us understand.
Right. I sold him before, right? And so I lost all my value in him about 3 months ago. So I've got no value tied up in him. So I know a lot of people that, you know, you might have bought him for 11.5 and now he's 12.2 and you've got all that value tied up. It's hard to sell. But I don't have that value tied up in him. And I see it as if you bring in Watkins or Havertz, they've got 3 games over the next 2 weeks, where Haaland's only got 1, which is Liverpool at home. Now, I know that they might beat Liverpool 7-0. Sorry for any Liverpool fans listening, right? And Haaland could score 5, obviously. But do you not think you could back either Havertz or Watkins to score more in 3 games versus Haaland only playing 1? There's your case. No more questions, Your Honour.
Can I ask if you watched him on Tuesday night, Luke?
No one was marking him. Come on. What's the matter with them?
Nobody's going to mark him against Liverpool. Let's be clear.
Well, like, yeah, that is also a fair point.
On a serious point, Sam, I do understand. Do you understand the logic?
Yeah.
Because there is good FPL managers that we know of that have sold it. And I do completely understand it. I am considering it. But as Jules said, it just feels so wrong.
Yeah, it's really hard. So on Tuesday afternoon, I was really like, okay, I'm starting to see the point in this because he's so heavily sold, he's starting to drop in price. So he's down to a 12.1 now. So suddenly that team value that Luke was talking about for me is just the 0.3. He looks like he'll probably drop again if people continue to sell him in the way that they have been. So then he'll be back at 12. So really it's only 0.2 that I'm losing in him, and I can find that from somewhere on Wildcard to bring him back. Obviously, he doesn't play this week. So the fear of him hurting me is much less because he can't hurt me from the bench where he's going to be. But he can hurt me in game week 29. Now, Luke is 100% right. A lot of people are looking at game week 29, this massive double, and they're thinking, I want as many double game weekers as possible. But we've seen this week that the single game weekers can easily outscore those that play twice. We saw that from Gabriel. We saw that from Harry Kane. We've seen that multiple times across this season that your single game week players can do really well. Had Haaland got, say, you know, a different team to play in game week 29, maybe somebody from the bottom of the league, I suspect that there will be less people looking to sell him. But because it's a harder game on paper against Liverpool, people are starting to think, well, maybe I can go without him in that one and then bring him back in, have a plan, keep the money in the bank, bring him back in for game week 30. Now, as somebody that's got their wild card still to play, I am sort of starting to think that that might be a viable strategy for me to worry about him in game week 29, not having him against Liverpool, hope that Liverpool improve their defending in that game and keep him out, and then bring him back in for game week 30, which is when I'm thinking about potentially wildcarding. But I might yet also wildcard for 29. So there's scope to bring him back in. I think it's really tough. I think you've got two choices. You either sell him and know that you're going through game week 29 without him and hope that Liverpool defend well and that he stays quiet. Because if he doesn't stay quiet, it is going to absolutely tank your rank. Or you do what Jules is suggesting. You tuck him in on your bench. You wish him, you know, a nice rest. Give him a cup of tea. And then you bring him straight back in for game week 29. And I think those are going to be the decisions that FPL managers need to make. The thing is, he's a forward. So he's coming in those three forward spots. And there's going to be a lot of managers that look at that and go, well, I'd quite like Kane for 28. I'd quite like to have, you know, players like Ollie Watkins or Havertz that Luke's mentioned. And the only way to have them alongside Tony, maybe, who's also got the double, is to sell Haaland. So I can see why managers are doing it. And I'm torn on whether I should do it as well.
I felt the longer that answer went on, the more Sam was talking herself into doing it.
She it's
was
really almost difficult.
That was like a conscious stream of what was going
yeah.
through her brain.
It's another one of those with me talking to myself, Kelly.
Jules, has she persuaded you? Are you having similar conundrums or is it very simple for you? No way.
Very simple. He's going to be on the bench, nice cuddle, and then back for the Liverpool game.
But it also does, I guess, depend on how well set up the rest of your team is and if you need to sell players, doesn't it? So I'm guessing, Jules, you're in a position where you can afford to do that and still get a team out.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah, that's right. You might need the money as well. And to reinvest, as Luke was mentioning, if you've got two free transfers, you sell Haaland. That frees a lot of money, of course, if you get another striker, and then you can invest the rest of the money somewhere else to get an upgrade on what you have, maybe. So I understand it all, and both Sam and Luke make really, really good points on what you could also sell him. But for me, it was not part of my plan.
Okay, I'm looking at the top 10 transfers out as it stands. Alongside Haaland, all of the players come from teams who don't have a fixture in game week 28. In fact, they are all from Liverpool, Manchester City, Manchester United and Mitoma from Brighton. This is what we expected, wasn't it, Sam? This makes a bit more sense.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I mean, I think when you're going into a blank game week, you have to sell out the players that aren't going to feature. So, and I think, you know, when you look at Liverpool's double coming out of this into 29, the doubles Man City and Chelsea, like that's a really difficult fixture. So if you own a Liverpool defender, it kind of makes sense to move them on. So you can absolutely see why. And when you look at like Mahrez and De Bruyne, they've been spending time on the bench in the league for Manchester City. So you can see why, especially as they only have the single in game week 29. Mitoma's an interesting one because I think a lot of people would want him back for game week 29.
I think I'm going to keep him as it stands for that reason.
Yeah, me too.
So it is interesting because Liverpool and Man City, I can kind of see if you're selling them, you're not replacing them, you know, they're not bringing them back in again for game week 29. Whereas Matoma, I look at and think, I think if you sell him now, you're going to regret that and you're going to want to reverse that transfer for the week after.
Well, can I make a point though on because it's similar with Brighton players, Estupiñán, to sell him and then you've got 29 where, you know, Brighton have got Brentford at home and Bournemouth away. So you're thinking that could be another chance for clean sheets, but he goes away on international duty. I think he's playing in Australia. So there's a lot of sort of rumours around thinking that maybe he might not be ready to play that first fixture. So there is that you can take into consideration, like where I'm looking at maybe selling him for Chilwell, where I think Chelsea, you know, they've obviously got three home fixtures over 28 and 29. I think that can make sense where I think Estupiñán might even miss that first one. And so that's kind of my reasoning behind selling my Brighton player.
Guys, we've got ourselves a good guest here. He's not only looked into the fixtures, he's looked at international break as well.
I've looked at flight times.
That's an incredible point to make because we should also say, shouldn't we, Jules? We talk about it a lot. Players coming back from international duty, there is an international break after game week 28, which could affect that game week 29.
Completely, yeah, especially for the ones that you mentioned who play far away. So the South Americans usually are the ones that come back the latest. They often come back on a Friday when you have the game week on Saturday, Sunday. And same if you play in Australia, same for Mitoma, by the way, that we were mentioning, and Japan and all the Asian qualifiers, for example. So this is also to take in consideration. With the Estupiñán, you could see maybe the Zerbi on this one and Brighton, especially if he's fit and just come back on time because it just don't have another left back at Brighton. So yeah, you can play Lamptey, you can play Veltman on the other side, on the wrong side. But it's not like if there was a already made replacement, perfect, Estupiñán, have a rest, we play, you know, whoever else. That's not the case. But it's a really good point from Luke. And I think, again, you'll have to look, especially as those players who are playing far away from Europe, that it might be tricky. They might come back really late. And usually managers don't like playing them 48 hours after them just coming back into the country.
Okay, well, we've talked a lot about the players that we're getting out of our FPL teams. We've touched upon the players that we might be getting in. So let's take a look at the fixture ticker for game week 28. If we look at just for game week 28, according to that, Villa, Chelsea, Spurs and Arsenal sit top. If, however, you also include game week 29, then Aston Villa and Chelsea do remain there, but they're also joined by Newcastle and Bournemouth, as well as teams like Leeds and Leicester. Interestingly, Spurs and Arsenal then drop right down as they only have the single game week fixture in game week 29. So I'm taking away from that, Jules. We go Villa and Chelsea as priority transfers.
You can look into that, of course, and I agree with the Chilwell pick that Luke mentioned earlier. You can look at Buendia, you can look at my boy Mudryk, of course, you know, if you're crazy like me. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting things to do, especially if you freed a bit of money, as we mentioned, if you sold Haaland or De Bruyne or Rashford or whoever big players that you had, you might have sold. So yeah, I think Aston Villa for Ollie Watkins, of course, if you haven't got him already and you have a free pick in up front as your strikers, Watkins is a really good shot. Even if there's Chelsea, of course, for Villa in that double game week, Chelsea away, and by then Chelsea might be on a, you know, four wins in a row, for example. So that might be a bit of a tricky game. But yeah, Watkins, Buendia, maybe could be a good idea from a Villa point of view.
You mentioned Mudryk there. Is he seriously someone people should consider, or right now is he just someone if you've already got in your team you have to keep?
Yeah,
are you enjoying what you're seeing from him yet?
Definitely not, as you know. Stop trolling me. Nah,
well,
not
I
funny.
Thought because he got returns this week, maybe. And of course, could have Chelsea more. Have started to find some form.
Yeah, of course. And I think that will help him. You never know what Potter might do. There's still a lot of changes made in that starting 11. But I would expect Mudryk to keep his place now after the good display he had, or certainly the encouraging display he had away at Leicester with the assist, even if I still think the assist is a fluke. You take it, of course. I don't think that's what he wanted to do at all, but it doesn't matter. But I'm hoping that his form will pick up now. He had a bit of time to adapt. He was back on the bench. I think there was a bit of a reality shock for him arriving, especially after the good cameo he had against Liverpool in his debut. After that, it was far more difficult for him. Now I'm just hoping that you play Everton at home, then you've got the Villa game, and then, of course, you've got Liverpool too. So, but the next two, in between the international break, where it would be a bit of a break, of course, I think it could be good for Mudryk. But yeah, don't bring him in now. I think it's too early.
I feel like with Chelsea, though, I feel like maybe Potter is starting to find his team, you know, with the wing-backs, Chilwell. And I know James, I wouldn't go for James just because he's made some comments about saying he needs to sort of really watch his fitness, which is not what you want to hear if you're bringing in a player. Where Chilwell seems to be playing every game. They have got the Champions League game, haven't they, in amongst this? Am I right in saying that? Over these three fixtures, maybe worth looking at that as well. But that the reason I like Havertz is because he's on penalties. He's got that sort of free role. And Havertz is a brilliant player. I think sometimes a lot of people have been burnt with Havertz over the last couple of seasons. But I really think Chelsea are starting to get it together. And home fixtures, Everton, Villa, Liverpool, and I think he's spicier, to use that word, than Watkins. I think a lot of people will go for Watkins, but I would rather go against that where I am in my league and where I am in the world, 400,000. I want to try at least go something slightly different to try and, you know, get up the rankings.
Yeah, I've just checked, and it's an interesting point, Luke, because we will have to consider, as we always do, European fixtures for teams like Chelsea. The quarterfinals of the Champions League take place on the 11th and 12th of April, so that's between game week 30 and 31, with the return legs then the following week, 18th and 19th of April, so between 31 and 32. But we do have to consider that, particularly with what we know Graham Potter likes to do and with what we know Pep Guardiola likes to do as well, if we're thinking about City assets at that point. Sam, what's your feeling on Chelsea at the moment? Because they're among only eight sides to play three matches in the next two game weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I've got obviously got Kepa like half the game does now. And I've also got Badia Shield. So I do feel like I'm on the wrong, a bit like Jules was just saying with Modric, I do feel like I'm on the wrong Chelsea defender at the moment, because he's not getting, he seems to be starting every other game, which is a bit frustrating for me, because I do really need him to play this one. However, he didn't start in game week 27. So I hope that that means he'll get the start in game week 28. We'll have to see. It's difficult with Chelsea because they've got such a huge squad that the rotation risk is always there. You know, you have got added into the mix the fact that the Champions League, they're still in it. Although it shouldn't hopefully affect game week 29, which is kind of going to be the key. I do like them though. I like Chilwell. I think he's the best pick from Chelsea right now. And then I do think, you know, you can take a bit of a punt. And Havertz for me would be the other one that I'd kind of punt on from a Chelsea perspective. But yeah, I mean, I think that there are other teams. Like, I really like Leicester. To be fair, I like the fixtures. So with Chelsea, you know, you've got the three games in, you know, the game in 28, the two games in 29, and then maybe you're looking to kind of move them on, not necessarily because of the Premier League fixtures, but because of the external factors like the Champions League. Whereas with Leicester, their fixtures actually look really nice all the way through to game week 35. So they've obviously got the game in 28, they've got Brentford, and then in 29, they've got a nice looking double against Crystal Palace and Aston Villa. And then after that, with the exception of the Man City game in 31, they've got games against Bournemouth, Wolves, Leeds, Everton and Fulham. So fixtures are really nice. So James Maddison would be somebody that I think you could take a bit of a punt on going into game week 28. He is by far the best attacking player in that Leicester City team, in my view. He's been involved in a team leading 14 goals over the course of his 19 outings this season. He scored 9 goals and assisted 5 in that time. Now, when you think that he's missed 7 matches this season, he's still top for shots in the Leicester team with 57, and he's still top for chances created in the Leicester side with 45. So what you are getting with James Maddison is somebody that's got a huge route to points and a set of fixtures that can last you through. So if you've already played your wild card, somebody like James Maddison actually means that you're investing for the long term, not just for the blanks and doubles.
I just wanted to make one point on, because I know a lot of people might be free hitting, and I think there is an opportunity to pick some players that are safe differentials. So if you Arsenal are playing tonight, you could watch to see if Gabriel Jesus starts or how many minutes he gets. He could be someone that could be perfect to be starting in this game week. Mm. Also, I think Son could be a really nice punt to go against the grain away at Southampton. He's got a really good record against Southampton as well. So I just think, like, if you look at, I think Arsenal are looking like they'll definitely get a clean sheet again. I love what I'm saying definitely, but they'll definitely get a clean sheet against Crystal Palace as well. So a lot of people have got two Arsenal midfielders. It could be a chance, if you're free hitting, to go two Arsenal defenders. The same with Chelsea. As Sam said, a lot of people got Kepa, but it could be a chance to go double Chelsea defence. So I just think it's a really fun week to free hit this week. I'm sort of jealous of people who are going to be using it.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned Arsenal there. And when I read out before the fixture ticker and the fact that they fall alongside Spurs right down the fixture ticker because they only have a single fixture in game week 29, it goes back to the point before of not ignoring teams with just one fixture. So it's an interesting time to navigate, isn't it, Jules? Because people will be tempted to potentially get rid of Harry Kane and your Arsenal assets and the like for 29 because they don't double.
Yeah, and Sam mentions it a lot all the time. Like, let's not be obsessed with the double game week players because, of course, on paper, and we've been saying, some will have three games when others will have just one. The one who's blanking and don't have double game week the following week. Some will have two, but you could also have a very good return on just one game a week, more than on the double game week. So you just never know. I think have the right mix and the right balance between the two is the right thing to do.
Okay, so word of warning when it comes to Arsenal and Spurs. Let's try and pick out a few more players that people should be targeting for this game week and potentially beyond. Sam highlighted James Maddison, Jules. Anyone you want to throw into the mix?
Yeah, Jack Harrison. We mentioned the Leeds fixtures that are interesting. He seems to, since Javi Gracia has arrived, he scored the other day, of course, but there's something about him compared to maybe other attackers, Nonto before that we've mentioned on the show many times, seems to be more of a sub now. Harrison could be interesting. I like Philip Billing too, not just because of the last two game week where he was outstanding, where he scored against Arsenal and against Liverpool, of course, but you know they've got Aston Villa away, they've got Fulham at home, then they've got Brighton at home. They're three not easy fixtures, but maybe there's a bit of momentum there for Bournemouth. So if you're really thinking about an outside of the box kind of pick, I think Billing could be very interesting. Very, very low ownership. 1% of managers own him. We mentioned Buendia. And for the Newcastle side, because I think we need to look into them, maybe it's time to bring Almiron back. And you know, he seems to have... He went through a dip and now there was that very, very nice goal the other day. So maybe Almiron could be interesting.
The other thing with Newcastle, Jules, is to look at Isak. I mean, I thought he was absolutely fantastic in the game in game week 27. He was the one that really stood out for me in that Newcastle team. Obviously, you know, he picked up one of the goals and he got a couple of bonus points in that game. But if he's going to be starting regularly in favour of Callum Wilson, then he could be a lovely differential. He's only owned by 1.7% of the game.
And his fixtures are great. You know, Nottingham Forest away, Man United at home, Man United without Casemiro, West Ham away, they've not been in great form. And then they've still got another double game week to be put in. And it looks like it could happen in 30 or 31. So I really like that, Isak, pick if you're looking for someone outside of the box.
But while we're talking about forwards, I think it's important to just note that Tony obviously picked up a yellow card in game week 27. Nine now. If he gets booked again in game week 28, he's going to miss both games of game week 29. So maybe you might want a different forward going into game week 29. Let's see what happens in 28.
Well, plenty for us to think about when making those transfers for game week 28, because you've got to consider 29 and the fact there's an international break in the middle. But hopefully, Luke, did we come up with some spicy picks as you requested at the beginning?
I feel like there's definitely some spice. I feel like if we're looking on that Nando's scale, we're probably about yellow, but I'm looking for red. So I feel like there's definitely been some spice thrown in there and I'm going to do a bit of try before you buy.
Okay. Talking of buying, who are you buying for this week? We always end on transfers. So I'd like to know at this point on Thursday morning ahead of a Friday deadline, what your plans are transfers wise.
Okay. I'm still thinking Havertz and Chilwell. I'm scared because of that Norwegian monster that I'd be selling, but I still think I'm going to do Havertz and Chilwell.
Double Chelsea for Luke. Sam?
Yeah. I'm torn. I think I'm going to sell Robertson because I don't necessarily think that Liverpool keep clean sheets in game week 29. So therefore selling him kind of makes sense. The question is, who do you go to? Because I don't want to go for another Chelsea defender. I've already got hundreds of them, it feels like. So I need to kind of make a decision there. I'm pondering on doubling up on the Newcastle defence for their fixtures that they have coming up. So maybe going for Botman alongside Trippier, and that might happen. And then the question is, do I want to sell Haaland to invest in Ollie Watkins? That's the decision that I've got to make.
Lots of decisions still to be made. Jules, you definitely won't have made your mind up.
No, definitely not. I've got a list long like that. Because my boy Mahrez will have to go, of course, sadly. And then Maddison, Harrison, Buendia, maybe Almiron that we mentioned, one of them. I think Chilwell will come in as well at the back. I fancy his form and the fixtures that they have. So yeah, Chilwell and then someone to replace Mahrez as well.
Okay. Are you a bit more decisive than I expected from all three of you. Captaincy. Jules, go first. I'm going to reverse it.
I haven't even thought about it yet, to be honest with you, Kelly. But I like Saka against Palace, although Palace will go there and defend and frustrate or try to frustrate Arsenal. But yeah, I need a bit more time to look at. I think Harry Kane, he loves scoring against Southampton, of course. So Kane could be a very, very good choice. But I feel a lot of people might choose Kane. So I'll have a look just before validating my team.
Sam.
Oh, I hate to be like Jules, but I'm really struggling with who to captain.
I feel like a really horrible school teacher today because no one wants me to come to them on this question. I can see them all going, not me next, please,
don't look
not
at me. Harry Kane, I think he's in my bus team. Harry Kane is wearing the armband. But we do know that every time I've captained Kane this year, he's blanked, which makes me feel a little bit uneasy about handing in the armband this time. I do really like the idea of captaining Martinelli. But I just don't know if I'm brave enough to go with Martinelli over Saka. And then there's James Maddison, who I also think could be a decent option this week. So I am really torn. I probably will leave it with Kane, probably.
Probably. I was like waiting for the end of that answer. But who knows what Sam's going to do. Luke, please end on a decisive note.
No, won't be doing that.
I take it back, rubbish guess, never get him on again.
No, fair comment. I think that's what's great is when Haaland's not in the game, there's lots of different captaincy choices. I think an Arsenal captain is a very good idea. I won't do that, but I like the idea of if you want spice, maybe a Chilwell captain could be a lot of fun. But another player that someone we've already mentioned about Watkins, and one thing what I will mention about bringing in Watkins is 28, they've obviously got Bournemouth at home, and 30, they've got Nottingham Forest at home, either side of that lovely double. So Watkins is a wonderful choice, and Watkins at home to Bournemouth could be a lovely captaincy choice.
Kind of decisive. Okay, we'll end it there, guys. I think we're reflective of how every FPL manager is feeling at the moment, for what it's worth. I haven't worked out what I'm going to do yet either, and I can say that because I don't need an opinion on this podcast. Anyway, that's where we'll leave it on that nice and indecisive note. Best of luck with all of your transfers. Luke, if managers have liked what they've heard today, where can they find you and follow you? Not literally come and find you.
Yeah. So I live weird. Number 31. You can follow me on all your socials. I'm just at Luke Kempner.
Got anything fun coming up work-wise?
Spitting Image Live, which is a show where I play over. If you don't know Spitting Image, it was a show that was massively popular in the 80s and 90s. We're doing a live version that's just finished in Birmingham. It's about to go on further journeys. You can come and see me in the Edinburgh Festival and then on tour. But just come and follow me. You can watch all my funny videos and follow my excellent FPL advice.
I was going to say, you have to mention your FPL account as well. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been brilliant to have your insight. I think you've actually put us to shame, to be honest, with some of what you've looked ahead to and pointed out. So it's been great to have you on.
Well, I mean, the 100 point members, you know, me and Luke, like, clearly, you know, we were on the same page.
Do we get to go to like a secret club now or something like that? We get free drinks.
I mean, if you want to go to a secret club with Jules, be my guest rather than me.
Yeah, let's go to Paris together. I've got a few addresses for us.
Yeah, no, I'm up for it.
Right, before this podcast veers very off-piste, Jules and Sam, what are you up to this weekend? Going to any games?
I'm at Chelsea-Everton on Saturday, which should be good, especially if I bring in Chilwell and my boy Mudryk plays. Like, I'd be there to see them get me loads of points.
No, it's Mother's Day this weekend, so I'll be spending my Sunday watching my boy play grassroots football.
Oh, I love that. And of course, keeping an eye on everything in FPL, I'm sure.
Of course.
And the FA Cup. Don't forget the FA Cup. That's what I'm working on this weekend. Well, guys, as always, been an absolute pleasure. Before we go, though, we've actually got some pretty exciting news because we have been nominated for the second year in a row for a Sports Podcast Award. And of course, we would love it if we could have your vote. So to do that, you need to create an account and log in at sportspodcastgroup.com. Go to the awards vote section, select the fantasy category, and then you can scroll down and you'll find us there, FPL Pod. Click vote, then click submit at the top of the page. Hopefully that will only take you a few minutes. And like I said, we love making this pod for you and we would love it if we could have an award. Jules would never shut up about it though. That's the only thing you have got to bear in mind.
Let's go and win this.
Well, that's all from us today. A reminder, it is an early deadline today, Friday at 6:30 p.m. UK time. It's a reduced game week, but we know it's going to be just as much fun. Best of luck. See you next week.